Are we ready? 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tana Liza Talks. I'm Liza.
And I'm Tana. Today's episode is going to be on distance. We thought this topic would be very fitting considering I'm currently living in LA and Liza's currently living in Siem Reap, which is two opposite ends of the world. First of all, how are we still friends? Because we've been very distant physically from each other for years now.
It's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
Since we last seen each other.
Yeah, in person. So this is like a testament to if they really wanted to, they would. Because we could so easily not be friends right now, you know? Because we have that physical distance as an excuse to not be friends. But why are we still friends? Because
we like each other.
I was alluding to like how physical distance can elevate a relationship even more. Because even though we're physically very far apart, we still are very close mentally. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I get you.
Yeah. So let's get into that with our opinions on it, how distance has shaped our relationships, what first comes to mind when we think of that word. Let's start with you.
Actually, we knew of each other since middle school, so like we've seen like that weird period, right?
Yeah.
And yet we still want to be friends with each other. And I think as we grow, maybe because we have similar values and similar interests, that we continue to sort of be in like sort of like parallel paths or something. Yeah. And this makes me feel like there is virtually no distance because I catch up with you and I feel akin to what you're going through. Like when you tell me what you're going through, it feels like a part of me walks that path with you and vice versa.
Right. I feel the same way too. Because with friends, like especially when you're physically distant and we grew up together, we saw each other's awkward growing pains. We've had growing pains with each other too, like being physically in the same country and all. So I think that history really helps. But at the same time, there are a lot of like friends from high school and stuff who we lost touch with because of those same reasons. Because we grow and change. So the stuff we used to be able to connect with over high school, we can't connect with now. And I feel like with our friendship, it was the opposite, where it's not that we weren't friends in middle school, high school, but we weren't as close as we are now, I feel. Maybe because the topics or whatever was important to us at the time just didn't like align with each other. But for some weird reason, like the older we get, the more we like lean, like, you know, our paths align more.
Yeah, it kind of feels like there's a right time for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess friendships or relationships in general, they're all about like supporting one another. And I feel like, at least for me, when I was younger, I didn't feel like I was in any position to be super supportive to others yet. And so even the friendships that I felt close, like I had close friends at the other close friends at the time, it was not max support yet, just because we're all trying to figure ourselves out, right?
Absolutely.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
You cannot pour from an empty cup. And let me just reference our doc, because guys, this is such a hard concept to talk about, so we broke it into three categories: relationship boundaries, physical distance, and then distance in the triangle of ego, persona, self, and the soul. Why don't we begin with the most obscure category? Because I'm pretty sure the listeners are wondering, What the fuck do you guys mean distance in the triangle of ego, persona, self, and soul?
Yes.
This is an important, like, starting concept to begin with before we talk about how it's improved or shaped relationships and helped to set boundaries, because the first thing we need to understand is how it relates to ourselves. And each person's experience is different. So the concept, general concept, is the persona slash ego is what you put out to others, or how others perceive you. And the self, like the way we're going to talk about it, is your human self, your human body, the physical things you do leading your day-to-day life. And thirdly, we have the soul, the higher self. That's your true self. Because the self is just your physical human body, the human experience you are having in this lifetime, right? And the ego slash persona is something you don't really have control over. Yes, you can shape it, but ego will always be there, and you cannot control how you will be perceived by other people. What you really do have control over is to be more in touch with your soul, your higher self, and figure out what it is that you truly align with as an individual, like, being. And I know it's a little bit out there in terms of, like, grasping the concept and, like, how the fuck does it relate to distance? Well, distance plays a very important role in this triangle, because the more you are disconnected with, let's say, if self and soul is very distant, that naturally would affect the way you act in your relationships.
Since the soul is your higher self, and what some may be even call your truest calling, right? Then if it's this too distant and disconnected from the self, then you zombie your way through life.
Yes, like autopilot. I'm doing this because I have to, because my environment is like this and I can't change anything about it. It puts you in that headspace, and it's sort of like lack mentality. It sounds harsh, but I think it's true. The more the self is disconnected or distant from the soul, the more of a lack mentality you're in, and the more likely you are just to have the same day repeat it over and over again.
Can you expand on what you mean by lack mentality?
Let's say if you have these beliefs, like the way my family is, that's just the way it will be. I can't change that. The way my friend group is, that's just the way they are. I can't change them. I feel like lack mentality is accepting those facts as true, complete facts. And because you can't change these things you say you can't change, it's sort of an echo chamber where you keep yourself in these kind of environments, and you're affirming your beliefs of these lack concepts as true, because you're just putting yourself in these positions of complacency.
I see that. Yeah, it's like if your environment is like this, like, yeah, maybe you can't personally change the behaviors of the people around you, you can only lead by example, but then if that energy is keeping you small or unexpressed, like you don't even feel safe to express yourself or be your true authentic self within those environments, within those relationships, then you are responsible for seeking alternatives, for seeking people to be around that's supportive, right? Is that catching?
Exactly. Like, it's true that you can't change people. That's true. But what you can change is your environment. And I feel like environment is vital in better quality of life. But there needs to be somewhat of a harmony between these three concepts of ego, self, and soul. Because I feel like if one is, like, sort of neglected, things will get thrown out of balance. Like, if your self and soul takes precedence over the ego and you just abandon the ego, you're gonna find yourself being alone. And being alone is not a bad thing, but what I mean is, like, as humans, naturally, we need some sort of community, some sort of feeling of community. And if you are just too attached to self and soul, it just alienates you, and eventually you will have no one you can connect with, which is why ego needs to be balanced in the formula too. I say formula, but really there is no formula. It's just like easier to explain this way to grasp the concept of it, I think. But if you're too trapped in the ego and the self, and the soul is kind of just lingering, forgotten about, neglected, then you will be just, I feel like, stressed every single day. Because you're like, man, this world is bleak as fuck. Recently, I want to let go of this persona, this role of being a good daughter. Because I feel like in our culture, in Khmer culture, it's very, not sacrilegious. Sacrilegious is not the right word. But do you know what I'm hinting at? Where it's like, close though, family matters, for sure. Stay within the family. You don't even really talk about it at all. But then just us talking about it right now, it's not like we're revealing top secret information, but just even talking about family dynamics, I feel like it's sacrilegious. But I feel like that's like an important topic to do. It's like you have to make a sacrifice of a persona you have attached yourself to in order to adopt a new persona or lead a new life and break free from your old patterns.
Yeah.
And I feel like distance has helped me a lot in going on this journey.
For sure. Yeah, let's tie in physical distance, because actually that's something that feels true for my path as well, is like needing to, in my path of needing to individuate from my family, I also had to move away from them. My family's based in Phnom Penh and now I'm in Siem Reap. I still have like cousins here and stuff, but mostly, I don't know. We're not as close as like my actual like immediate family back in Phnom Penh. And like, if you want to go into it, we could talk about it, because we're both Khmer daughters who are not married and yet live separately from their family, and that's super taboo.
And are artists.
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe for me personally, I don't feel like it's super taboo. I left home pretty early. Like, I was sent abroad to study from quite a young age, and then that was already like the first taste of distance, and I felt like I had to learn to be very independent very quickly. And so like moving away again, but as an adult, felt very freeing, because it was just what I got to have when I was like younger, but I was denied when I was a teenager, but then resurfaced in my adult life. Yeah.
I get you. Physical distance for me is a huge catalyst for me being where I am now in life. To our listeners, this podcast is us just like wanting to keep it real and talking about our experiences with this topic. So please take it with a grain of salt, but we're just two very passionate individuals who have a lot to say. For context, I was, born and raised in Phnom Penh, right? So I have never lived in any other country until I moved to America for college. So reflecting on it now, because I'm physically distant from it, I can see with hindsight that staying in that space of living under the same roof as my parents is not in alignment with the path I want to take for building my own life. So my parents' goal is to eventually one day all of us live under the same roof as a happy family. And that is just very unrealistic, because be so for real. And I feel like a lot of Cambodian families, it's culture, tradition to live under the same roof as family. Like, you have cousins who have whole-ass families, like, kids living in one house. Like, three generations or even four generations living under the same roof. Even growing into senior status. Like, that is sort of the norm, right? In Cambodia. Trying to achieve that level of unrealistic family harmony. Like, I'm sure some families are happy living under the same roof, but I feel like at a large, we care so much about how we will be perceived by other people. Like, oh, like, look at them. They're such a happy family. They're, like, so tight as a family unit. You know, they're always, like, doing things as a pack. Like, no one abandons the other, leaves the other behind. And this image is just so crafted that I feel like what goes on behind closed doors is less of that perfect happy family image. This physical distance has made me realize what a perfect, a real happy family is. A family that respects the other family member as a whole individual person rather than sacrificing their entire life to play the role of the good daughter, to play the role of the good son, or whatever. And I understand that it's a little complicated gray area here because that's the way our parents had to grow up. They had to sacrifice their own lives in order to get us where we are today. But I think this is one of those things where it's like a hard pill to swallow that we do not want to repeat that cycle, right? Of having to continue sacrificing a life that's not even been lived yet. Because right now, they made those sacrifices in order for us to build a better life, right? So why would we want to continue sacrificing our lives and our potential to play this good role?
So true. I think it's people of our generation who can identify these patterns, and we know that we don't want to repeat them, and we know that there are alternatives. It's us who are also responsible for acting on it or just letting it recycle, right? And I'm sure even with our actions, it'll, you know, it's not that we'll be perfect. The idea is not, like, the goal is not perfection, but just that, like, moving, skirting people along or, like, inching progress forward is always uncomfortable. But yeah, I think when you said that thing about our parents, that's how they grew up, it also reminds me about how, like, that's what they grew up. They never saw anything else modeled for them. And that even though it was, like, it is a fucked up dynamic or fucked up culture, relationship culture, that it feels familiar to them, so it's comfortable. And even when things can improve, that change will be very uncomfortable for them. And I can see how, like, as, you know, we create distance and we see the distance that we want to progress to and we want to bring them along with us, that it's going to be a hard journey for them, and maybe they won't even want to go sometimes, right? And that's really difficult.
Yeah.
But when you talked about the image curation, that actually reminds me a lot of the triangle of the self, which is, there's the ego, the mask, and then there's the self, which is, like, yeah, as you said, lived in experience, the physical, everyday stuff, which is in the family setting, that's, like, your actual dynamic. And then there's the higher self, which is what is true and what desires to come out truthfully. And that's, like, you know, us wanting to connect on a more truthful level than all this, like, we should, we could, blah, 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 you know?
This reminds me of the Hawkins triangle too, Hawkins graph. Basically, it's like a triangle little diagram where the tip is the highest frequency and the base is the lowest frequency. And the idea is love, joy, harmony, acceptance, and letting go. It's at the highest vibrational frequency that allows lots of prosperity to be attracted into your life. And then at the base, it's like the survival, you know? It's kind of similar to the, was it Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but more like spiritual, because it's talking about frequencies rather than, you know, actual societal like tiers. But that's a thing, right? Because our parents were raised only ever knowing survival. That's their whole world. I think that's why it's difficult for us to connect with them sometimes and live under the same roof as them, because they haven't quite navigated how to remind themselves that, hold on, I was fighting for survival, but like now we're at a good place. Like I can just let go a little bit. So I think it's just a matter of perspective. Everything's a matter of perspective. And I think with distance, with me and my family, distance helps put things into perspective for them too. Because now that I'm out of their nest, they can really see physically like, oh, all the kids are out of the nest. Like, we can sort of focus on our own lives now. And I think with the kids being back in the same space as them, like physically under the same roof, I think it just triggers old patterns of like, they're still that kid, so I must still act like treat them like they're that kid. And then, you know, that leads to complications. So I think physical distance right now is what I think is best.
Actually, what you're describing, this physical distance, but also a distance in communication, really, is therapy word boundaries. I feel like it's a cool concept that I'm glad I learned about, so I wanted to bring it to our episode and share it with our listeners in case they haven't heard about it. I don't know why. Boundaries is where it's comfortable for me to love you and also love me too.
Period. Because if you really think about it, like, boundaries is in the same umbrella as confrontation. What I've realized lately is if someone is willing to confront you about something you did that upset them, or if they're willing to confront you about their boundary, you should take that as a positive thing. It's because they care enough about your relationship to address these things with you. So if no one is setting boundaries in relationships, as much as we were conditioned to think that, in our culture at least, in Khmer culture, that like setting no boundaries is an act of love, an act of care, because you're willing to sacrifice your whole life for this other person. No, you have to set boundaries, because we were conditioned to think that setting boundaries is seen as ungrateful or being like rebellious against tradition. But it's not about wanting to do that. It's literally just about wanting to build a better relationship between me and you. Like, why are we bringing these external factors into play here when this is really a conversation about me and you, like whoever you're setting boundaries with?
I guess it's just this, like cultural assumption that a happy family is one where everyone knows everything about you, or, you know, like you can do whatever you want to each other kind of thing. Like, oh, you're so tight knit, but it's nah. Or at least I don't see that as healthy. Maybe for some other people, that's fine. But I guess for us, this is what we're comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Saying this as a retired people pleaser, or trying to retire people pleaser. When I'm doing things with other people, I naturally, very naturally, probably from upbringing, just go along with things, even if I don't 100% want to, just because it feels comfortable to just go with the flow with everyone. And for a time before I truly started doing things alone and gauging what I liked on my own, it was kind of hard to tell if I was saying yes to something because I really wanted to do it, or because it was just something everyone else wanted to do. So alone time helped me truly hone in on that And once I practice that skill enough by being alone, going to, you know, social events and stuff, I was reminded of how, actually, when I was alone, I didn't want to do this. So maybe I don't have to say yes to everything. And it sounds simple, but I feel like for those of us who grew up a certain way with strict parents, with a certain culture, sometimes we really do have to rediscover ourselves with distance.
Absolutely.